Vine is a New York-based company that was recently bought by Twitter. It lets smartphone users make a six-second video and then immediately post it to the social media platform. Devinder Hardwar is national editor at VentureBeat and covers mobile technology. And we have so many things I want to talk about with you, Devinder. First of all, what's the big deal about Vine?
I think we've seen many different startups try to do something, try to make video on mobile work properly. So there was TwitVid. There were a couple others, but what makes Vine interesting is that, first of all, it is coming directly from Twitter, so it has a lot of backing from that company. But also, I think the editing process is actually really interesting, too, because previous mobile video apps, they would just have you shoot the video and upload it, but it felt like a home video. Vine actually is doing something interesting in the ability to instantly edit a short clip very quickly. Very similar to what Twitter does with its character limit.
It's kind of interesting to me because I tried it out and it reminded me of the old days when you used to have to edit pictures in the order that you wanted to see them, as opposed to now, usually, where you can insert pictures wherever you want them. But if I hear you correctly, what you're saying is that a lot of these new apps, they don't really have a chance of making it unless they're acquired by a platform like Twitter that is sort of already successful and has a lot of users.
Yeah, it's tough. Basically, it's sort of like a gold rush that we're seeing in the app market right now. So especially after the Instagram purchase, Facebook bought them for $1 billion. Everybody assumes that the next major one will be a video app. And that's what everybody's fighting for right now.
Okay, so you're saying there's a boom in the app market. Mm-hmm. But I've been hearing that there's this new way of getting information or getting web content on your mobile phones, or not so new, HTML5. Oh my God, I know a lot of people just probably fell asleep. Can you make that an interesting subject? Because I read an article, one of the things that you wrote, that made it really interesting that HTML5 could take over the way apps are made.
It's kind of tough. So basically, you can look at it like the PC model. So on Windows, we used to have, everybody would run Microsoft Office. We'd run the Eudora or email programs. And slowly, we've moved to the web. So everybody's using Gmail. Everybody's using Google Docs. And we're seeing that same battle play out on mobile. Right now, apps are actually the leading thing because they can take advantage of the full hardware of the phone. They're running faster. They have all sorts of capabilities that web apps don't have yet. But there are certain advantages to web apps. It's not something that a developer has to make and send to Apple and go through the app store.
Yeah, because isn't it a pain? Like, if you create, a website and then you want to have it on different platforms, you have to create it over and over and over again so that you can actually see it on those different platforms, right? Mm-hmm. What is it that HTML5 does?
Well, that's actually partially it. So if you create an app, you do have to build it and develop it for every different platform, and that takes a long time. An HTML5 website, the whole idea of it is that you build it once, and it can run on something like the iPhone and an Android phone and other platforms. So it's all about kind of building something once and just being able to run it anywhere.
And what's the benefit of that? Just cost effective?
It's cost effective for developers because it means, they can, you can support a lot more platforms just with building something once.
And what does that mean for me? Is that a bad thing? Because I have to say that is the beauty of the app, right? It exists and you don't have to be connected to the web. Is it kind of a lose situation for the consumer?
It's kind of either way right now. So what we're actually seeing, a lot of apps are sort of wrappers that just point to an HTML5 application. That's sort of what Google was doing with the first Gmail app that hit the iPhone. And you can actually look at that as like a big, sort of a good example of the differences, right? The first Gmail app on the iPhone was basically the HTML5 web view of Gmail. It was slow. It was clunky. People had a lot of problems with it. And then a couple months ago, Google released a full-fledged native Gmail application. Everybody loves it because it's fast, it's beautiful, and it works the way you expect.
So the user may not even know, but they know that their experience with the information is better.
Yeah. Generally with an app, a native app versus an HTML5 app, that's the real conversation happening right now. But generally with a native app, they're faster, they're more stable. But web apps are getting, they're getting better, and HTML5 is getting better in general, too, as developers learn the tools, and as the platforms kind of depend more on it.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's transition a little bit here. We've seen that there are Google glasses on the loose out in the wild in New York City. I saw somebody wearing them the other day, and I tracked him down. We also have heard a lot about now that potentially Apple has a new bendable glass phone that might go on the wrist? What is, okay, we're talking about how big mobile is, and mm-hmm. then maybe we're talking about the end of mobile phones and something else, right? What's going on?
I think we're seeing, you know, mobile just kind of explode in different ways. Instead of just being trapped in your phone, it's being spread across multiple devices all over your body. And what we're hearing now is that Apple's potentially working on a smartwatch. The New York Times reported it over the weekend, then the Wall Street Journal followed up, then Bloomberg followed up. And that seems like that's one of those not quite accidental leaks. Apple has, you know, people have said Apple has done something like this before in terms of leaking stories, but
they don't do anything just sort of by accident, do they?
Exactly. So it's like everybody had a little piece of the story, and I found that really interesting. If you take all those pieces together, what you see is an Apple smartwatch. And I think that makes a lot of sense for Apple because wearable computing is becoming more of an interesting thing. Companies like Jawbone and Nike have released wristbands that can track your health, and they've been very popular. So if Apple can do something like that, that also, you know, gives us some of the advantages of other smartwatch platforms, like the ability to see your texts and your emails without even opening up your phone, sort of like a device that connects your smartphone and your tablet to your wrist. And I think that would be really interesting.
So, I mean, it can't also be an accident because there's been a lot of talk recently that maybe Apple was sort of losing its mojo, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that it was the cool kid on the block. But recently I went to a tech sort of meetup and everybody had Android phones. Mm-hmm. And frankly, at Christmas time, my mom got an iPhone. And no offense, Mom, but if you've got the iPhone, then how cool can it actually be? Mm-hmm. Is that an issue? Is cool factor an issue?
I think, especially after Steve Jobs passed away, everybody pretty much worried that Apple doesn't have anything new or super interesting or just truly innovative down the line. So we've had the iPhone, we've had the iPad. You know, their most recent thing recently was the iPad mini, which is just a smaller iPad. I think Apple does need to prove to investors and to its fans that it can still innovate at the level it used to. We've seen other rumors too, like a full-fledged Apple television. That's one I think is kind of crazy. It doesn't make sense for Apple. But a smartwatch makes a ton of sense because it kind of fits this gap in computing right now. If you look at yourself, you know, your smartphone maybe does a lot of work and then your tablet and your laptop, but other parts of your body, there are things that you can sort of, I don't know, computerize and do more
with
it.
My belly button.
Your belly button.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Interesting things. Well, it's interesting how these companies are approaching it too. So Google, you know, Google's going crazy with Project Glass, and it's going to be these augmented reality glasses. I don't know if normal people will actually wear those things, but a smartwatch, something that just sits on your wrist, we know that. We understand that.
Okay, so next couple months actually are going to be super interesting. What are you looking forward to checking out?
I'm definitely interested in seeing where the smartwatch stuff goes. We're seeing, you know, a lot more announcements. Mobile World Congress is happening at the end of this month, so there are going to be plenty more Android phone announcements. On the gaming side of things, actually, things are heating up because it's been, 7 or 8 years since Sony and Microsoft announced their consoles. Sony's holding an event in New York City later this month where potentially they'll introduce the PlayStation 4. Microsoft's expected to show off their next Xbox. It's going to be a really crazy year for technology.
Thanks, Devendra.
Thanks.
Devendra Hardwar is national editor at VentureBeat.